get started. So we're talking about what do we do when we're stressed and the kind of situations that make us stress, and it's unexpected changes, maybe things we don't like, changes that we don't like, things that we don't like, people that we don't like. They can all stress us out. And here's the thing about stress. Stress not only affects us emotionally, it can affect us physically. It can affect us mentally. Physically, you think about this. Stress has been leading causes to heart attacks. How many, when you get stressed, your blood pressure has gone up? How many, when you're stressed, you've lost sleep or can't sleep? Loss of appetite. And, or for some of us, the never-ending appetite. Stress can do a lot of things along those ways. And really, the reason that we all experience stress, the result of stress, is really unresolved conflict. It's something in our life that is not resolved. Maybe it was an argument at home or something that took place at work with your boss or a coworker, and you begin to think about it, and the more you think about it, the worse it gets, and it stresses you out. And by thinking about it, you know, I know you said, Pete, that maybe thinking about it maybe brings you to it, but for me, I'm the exact opposite. The more I think about it, the worse it gets. I can take a molehill and turn it into a mountain like that if you give me time to think about it. Sometimes it's unresolved issues. You just can't seem to fix it with that person, that friend, or that family member, or just a bill that, or the, a certain debt that you can't seem to grasp or get out of. Other things that cause us stress maybe is a major decision that we have coming up, and we're not really sure what to do, or we can't decide what we should do. Or it's a frustrating situation where people just won't do what you want them to do. Wouldn't the world be a better place if everybody would just do it the way that I think that you should do it? Right, if they would just listen to me, this world would be a better place. And then what about unmet expectations? We put expectations on other people, and when they don't do it the way that we think that they ought to do it, that can stress us out. So tonight, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at a popular Bible figure, but what we can learn from him is how to deal with stress. And we're going to talk about Moses tonight. Moses is a great example of someone in the Bible that we can learn from on how to deal with stress. He dealt with it. Now, there were times where he didn't deal with it real well, but in general, over his overall demeanor, because we all have bad moments, he was one who learned to remain calm under pressure. He didn't start out that way, but the more that he grew closer to God, the better he became when he dealt with stressful situations. And so if anybody in all of the Bible had a right to be uptight, it was Moses. Let me tell you why. I've gotten in a car with my 3 kids and drove 8 hours. And I was stressed by the end of it. Imagine being one man leading millions of people around a desert for 40 years, complaining the whole time. You think you have it bad? You don't have it bad. I would have been a stress ball leading 2 million people through the desert. And the whole time, not happy. They weren't happy with what they had to eat. They weren't happy with where they were. They weren't happy with what they had to drink. They weren't happy with where they lived. They argued, fussed, and they fought the whole way. And it wasn't like with 2 million people, Moses could just turn around, if y'all don't stop, I'm going to pull this caravan over. He can't do that. He's just like all the time going to God and saying, God, these people, even God, it just was so frustrating. And God was working in Moses, but the people were not letting God do a work in them. He was teaching them, he was showing them, he was relaying messages from God, but they just weren't having any of it. And you would think, after 40 years, he would be the most uptight person you've ever met. But I want you to see how the Bible describes him in Numbers 12. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He was meek. Do you know that there's only two times in the Bible that men were described as meek? Jesus and Moses. That's it. Just two times. Now, a lot of people think the word meek, because it rhymes with the word weak, are basically the same thing. They kind of picture like Jesus, you know, some guy smacking him in the cheek on the face, and he's like, I'm going to turn the other cheek now. Go ahead, hit me. And you kind of got like this lack of a man kind of a person. And so there's not a lot of people want to hear the word meek because they think it's just another word for weak. But that's not what the biblical definition of meekness is at all. Meekness simply is this. It is not weakness. It is strength under control. It's strength under control. I could, but I'm not. I would, but I'm not. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. Meekness is what keeps you from losing your mind when things get rough, things get tense. Meekness is an attitude that says, when everybody is coming down on me, when everybody is on my case, when things are stressful and I have every legitimate reason to get nervous and tense, I am going to keep my cool. I am not going to lose my temper. So meekness is this. In the situations where you normally would lose your temper, you're going to say, I could, but I'm not going to. And meekness comes, here's what meekness comes from, a complete reliance upon God in some of the most awkward and frustrating, intense situations. But here's what typically happens. In those moments, how do we typically respond? We don't respond with meekness, we respond with anger. Because when people anger you, you get an energy that a Red Bull can't give you. And you know what anger is? Anger is the energy that God gives you to solve a problem. Not all anger is wrong. Remember, Ephesians 4 says, be angry and sin not. What do we do with that energy when it comes upon us, when somebody says something or somebody does something in that stressful, tense situation? The question that we have to ask ourselves is, when that anger comes, what do we do with it? Because when that energy comes, the energy itself is not wrong. But what you do with that energy that makes it wrong. So when your kid talks back to you or when somebody does something and you're like, you know what we typically do? We typically respond the way we're used to responding. We do it in our flesh. We do it in self-reliance. We do it our way rather than God's way. And so you know what a meek person does? In those situations, a meek person is so focused on God and turns to God that they use the anger that God has given them to solve the problem God's way. That's how the Bible describes Moses. And so the idea tonight when it comes to stress, what do I do with that stress when I'm just like, I'm not sure what to do? We take that moments of clarity, we take that moments of energy that when that stress can often bring, and what we need to do is let God have control. So the principle that I want to talk to you about when it comes to stress is let God replace your stress with his peace. Let God replace his stress with his peace. And then Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to learn from the life of Moses how we do this. Because here's what you're going to find. Moses did not live by his feelings. He did not live by his emotions. He lived by faith. When you live by feelings, this will tell you this. When you are letting your feelings control you, you are living in self-reliance. But when you are living by faith, you're living out of trust for the Lord. So, let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, many of you know the story, but Moses was found in the Nile in a basket. So we could literally say, you know, Moses was stressed because he was born a basket case, right? Yeah, I'm sorry, that was bad. But when he was come to years, so who finds him? Pharaoh's daughter finds him, and she can't have any sons, and so she does what every daughter does that wants something, goes to daddy, blinks, daddy, 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 can I have him, please? Can I have him? Can I have him? And Pharaoh, if you studied the Egyptian history during this time, he can't have a son that'll stay alive. He's either having all daughters or sickly sons, and then the sons would die. And so he's got no Pharaoh in the wings. So what he decides to do is, hey, we'll adopt Moses. And one day Moses was going to be Pharaoh. What a better way you can think of for a Jew to grow up, become Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the whole world. That would be like the best way to free the Israelites, right? Wouldn't you think? But that's not how God wanted it done. So by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, this verse is about identity. Moses had to ask himself this question, who am I? Who am I? Was Moses going to live as a Jew? Which, by the way, what were the Jewish people then at the time? Slaves. Was he going to live as a slave, even though he was raised an Egyptian, went to the best schools, received the best education? He's in line to become the most powerful man in the world. And everybody thought he was an Egyptian. He walked like an Egyptian. He talked like an Egyptian. Everybody thought he was an Egyptian. And so he had to answer this question, who am I? Am I a Jew or am I an Egyptian? Am I going to live as a Jewish slave or an Egyptian luxury in the most probably richest man in the world's house? Wonder which one you would have chosen. What would you have done? Well, Moses, he makes the correct decision. He says, choosing, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, this is what he's understanding is this. I can choose to be an Egyptian, but I already know how it's going to end because his mom had taught him how it's going to end. His mom, who happened to be his nurse growing up, not the adopted mom, but his real mom, lo and behold, gets to be the one that raises him and teaches him. And while she has him in his formal years, teaches him what's going to happen. And so when he got older, he chose to be Jewish. He decided that he was going to live out of who he was instead of pretending to be someone that he wasn't. Boy, that's a powerful principle, isn't it? Isn't it so easy in our world today to try to live like and pretend like we're something that we're not? But Moses decided that he was going to live out of who he was. You see, when we quit trying to be something that we're not, we can finally relax. I was talking to Chrissy Sunday and I was telling her, you know, I have sermons going back to 2006, but I told her I don't preach anything from 2006 to 2010 again because it's just unpreachable. And there, you know, the reason why was my first few years, I tried to imitate the pastors that I loved the most. And my first 5 years of pastoring wasn't my voice. It was me imitating somebody else, trying to be something that I wasn't. But you know, once I found my voice, once I understood who I was and stopped trying to imitate people, it made me comfortable with who I was. It made me embrace who I was in Christ. So he says he chooses rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This is what's interesting. You know what you don't see in here? You don't see Moses blaming God for the position that he's been put in. It's like, God, why did you put me in this position where I have to choose? This is hard to choose. And truthfully, you know, if he looked at the temporary, he would think, you know, I know how I can get Israel out of this. Here's what I'll do. I will become Pharaoh. And when I become Pharaoh, I will free the people. This is what it is. But he realized, you know, he had to think along those lines. But he realized that is not what God wanted. He could have chosen the riches of Egypt. That was easy. That was tangible. That was his chance to replace his way with God's way. But Moses made the decision when he had grown up. A mark of maturity is when you settle on the issue of personal responsibility. Don't we live in a world that doesn't blames everybody but themselves? You know, a guy kills somebody and they blame the parents. It's just amazing. Everybody, you know, Democrats blame Republicans. Republicans blame Democrats. Everybody likes to blame everybody else. But I found this to be true. I don't know if you understand this, but boy, I found this to be true in my life. We all love to give blame, but we all hate to be blamed. I don't mind blaming you, but please don't blame me. Right? Then it goes on. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect in the recompense of the reward. Based on 25 and 26, Moses chose to be mistreated with the people of Israel. He chose Jesus over wealth. He chose what God said was important over the priorities of Egypt. When you looked at Moses at this time, he had everything. He was in the right household. He kind of got lucky. He didn't have to be raised a slave. He had power. He could do whatever he wanted. He had whatever he wanted. Moses already had what most of us spend our lives trying to get. So think about that for a second. I want this, and I hope to get this, and I want to be here one day. Moses already had it, and you know what he realized? That doesn't satisfy. That only true satisfaction comes through faith and trust in God. And God was asking Moses to do something that was far more important than try to have power and riches and possessions and pleasure. See, Moses said, I'll do it. Because it was a matter of priority in his life. But then look at verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He wasn't afraid of the most powerful man in the world because he knew how great God was. But notice this. For he endured, but notice his faith, as seeing him who is invisible. It's what we've been talking about, Esther. Even though I can't see God, I can trust God. But his faith was so strong, it was like he could see who he can. And by the way, nobody has seen God more clearly as a human being on this earth than Moses did. But at this point, notice what he said he did. He endured. That word literally means he persevered. He didn't run from difficulty. You know what he did? He faced it. Here's the thing about this. We will never go forward without adversity. Do you know as God's going to move our church forward, it's not going to come all easy. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be whiners and complainers that don't like what we do. And there's going to be people that are going to say negative things. And there may be some people that say, you know what, I'm out. I'm not doing this. But at the end of the day, we need to understand that when you choose to walk in faith with God, there will be adversity. There's no progress without problems. It just doesn't happen. We all have to learn how to relate to difficulties. Moses was so successful in his life because he endured. He did not quit when things got rough. And the key to peace of mind is knowing that difficulties come in everyday life. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. We just got done talking about suffering. Why do people suffer? People suffer because they are born. We're all going to suffer, whether we know Christ or whether we're not. But what's the difference is this. When we trust in Him, we'll know how to respond correctly and then move on. Because here's this, we need to grasp this so much. Peace is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of Christ. In your life, well, if this wasn't going on, then I would have peace. If this person wouldn't do that, then I would have peace. If they would stop doing that, if they would stop saying that, if they would just do it the way that I think that they should do it, I would just have peace. But we need to understand that peace is not the absence of problems, because you will never be absent of problems. Peace is only found in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. So here's the obvious question that we need to ask ourselves tonight. How do we move from stressful to peaceful? How do we move from stress to peace? Because we can talk about this, but we need to know what steps to take. The similar steps that Moses took in his choices. And here's what you'll see. First is this. Don't try to be someone you're not. Don't try to be someone you're not. Let God show you who you are and live out of what He shows you. Trying to be somebody you're not is the quickest way to be constantly stressed. It's awful. What would they do in this situation? What should I do? When you try to be someone you're not, not only will it lead to constant stress, you'll feel constant pressure all the time. Let me tell you what a liberating experience is. It's when you relax and quit trying to be somebody you're not. You live out of what God has shown you. You see, the foundation for a peace of mind is this. Rest in Him and be yourself. Relax in Him and be yourself. Because this is what you need to understand. We all need to. God loves you just the way you are. But you say, well, I got all these issues. I got all these problems. He knows. He's not going to leave you that way. He's going to work in your life. You are special to Him. And you can pretend to be someone you're not, or you can accept God's plan and be who He meant you to be in the first place. But be who you were meant to be. By the way, if Moses had stayed in Pharaoh's court, we would have no record of him except in Egyptian history. All you would know Moses by now is that he would be somebody's mummy. That's pretty much it. That's it. We don't remember. But you know what he did? By his act of faith, literally thousands of years later, we're still talking about him. Why? So this is what we need to understand. Let God replace the negative in your life with something positive. You know, some of us, we can take positive and turn it to negative. But let God take the negative in your life and replace it with something positive. Because here's what I found. You just don't stop doing something. You have to start doing something else. If you've ever tried to stop doing something and didn't replace it, then what you eventually do is you look, oh, there's a gap here. There's a hole here. Let's replace it. And so you end up going back to doing the same thing. The scripture is full of the principle of replacement. See, it's so funny. It's easy for me to blame others for the condition I'm in. Here's some ones that I've heard before. I'd be more committed to Christ if my family were Christians. You don't know how hard it is. If my family were Christians, then it'd be easy for me to be a Christian. I'd be more committed to Christ if my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my husband and wife, if they would go to church more often. I would be more committed to Christ if they would just adjust their way of thinking, or if they would adjust their actions, or if they would stop being jerks. You know what I found? There are many things that we don't have any control over. You don't control who your parents are. You don't control where you were born. We don't control a lot of things, but God is in control. So let God do what He can do. A third principle is this. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you respond. How many when we were kids, somebody said something or did something and like, well, he started it. Right? He made me do it. He made you do it? How did he make you do it? See, one thing you have absolute control over is not what people do to you, but how you respond to what they do to you. You can respond to what comes in your life negatively, or you can respond to it positively. You can respond to it critically, or you could respond to it in the way that God wants you to respond. But the question at the end of the day is this: when people treat you wrong, how are you going to respond? It is your choice. You can choose whether those things will make you bitter or make you better. You hear me talk about it all the time, especially Sunday. It is your responsibility in how you respond. No one can ruin your life except you. No one. The devil doesn't even have that power, because the devil can't make you do something. He can just try to deceive you into doing something. But at the end of the day, you can never say the devil made me do it, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He may oppress you, but he does not possess you as a child of God. God won't ruin your life because he loves you. So when we come down to it, nobody can ruin your life, not even the devil. God doesn't do it. Only you can ruin your life. Here's a principle here. Nobody can take away your attitude unless you give it away. You choose your attitude. Don't give people space in your head. Don't give people power over you. Let God have that. When we let God have control of our attitudes, you know what you're going to find? That thing we've all been looking for: peace. Peace. And then finally, this is what Moses did that we can learn from this. Decide what is really important in life. You know what I found? Popularity doesn't last. Anybody ever watch American Idol? I can't remember someone like 10 years ago. Like, what was that person? What was that? And at the time, they were like, oh, I love them. People literally cried when one of them got voted off or whatever it is that happens to them. And now they're like, who? What? I think I remember them. Listen, I'm a huge sports fan, but I can't tell you who the Patriots beat the last 3 years. I know that the Patriots won, and I'm sick and tired of watching them win. But you're like, well, who won that Super Bowl? Who is it? Nobody can tell you who were in the playoffs that year that much, and I follow it pretty closely. Popularity doesn't last. Pleasure, there's nothing wrong with it. You know the only time pleasure becomes wrong? When pleasure becomes your God. Pleasure is not wrong until it becomes your God. But here's the thing about pleasure. It just doesn't last. I mean, I can tell you, I've gone on some vacations, and we've gone for 2 weeks, and man, slept in every day, ate what I wanted, laid out, you know, the pool, or, you know, relaxed after I'd been tired. And, you know, by about the start of the second week, I'm sort of like, man, I'm ready to go back to work. Even pleasure doesn't last. Moses rejected riches. You know what he rejected it for? His relationship with God. Popularity doesn't last. Pleasure doesn't last. Possessions don't last. And by the way, no amount of wealth brings us happiness. You know what most people, no matter how much wealth they have, thinks will bring them happiness? A little bit more than what they have. Most people think double of what they have is what riches. God wants you to use things and love people, not love things and use people. Moses rejected the material things because there was something more important in his life. And then finally, let me give you this. Never let problems destroy you. Let problems draw you closer to God. God's going to allow problems in your life for very specific reasons, not because he's mad at you. They're going to be tests in your life, so you're going to need persistence, just like Moses when he endured. Because if you don't have persistence, you'll quit and you won't go very far. So how does stress become peace? Stress becomes peace when we trust God and accept responsibility for our choices and then choose what God says is important and then persevere by faith to do what God has asked us to do. So as we look at it tonight, that simply means this. Let God replace your stress with his peace. That's how you deal when you're completely stressed. He can take your stress and give you his peace, which is what we want anyway, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you work in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, many of us through different parts in our life, we've become stressed. We've become moody and angry and Lord, tense all the time. So Lord, I pray that we would follow the example of Moses and that Lord, by leaning into you and trusting in you and then persisting through the difficult times to decide right now that we're going to do things your way. Father, I pray that you'd work in each heart and each life and help us to Lord, as we come to you, that you will turn our stress into your peace. Thank you for the life lesson that we've learned from Moses tonight. Now bless us. In your name I pray. Amen.